Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Oh, hey, it's Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
Oh, a couple stinkers here. Oh, this is going to be what if this was our first prank episode? And I've been thinking about this for 11 seconds, but I think we could do a prank episode, and it could be like the world's, because people love Jack Butt, which is what we talked about it in youth group in church. We'd have to call it that, but people loved that, but nobody's doing it right now. So
especially in an audio medium.
Right, and so that would be a fun challenge that we could solve for.
It'd be a lot of like,
yeah, so it could be something like, a lion is got lost in the room like Jumanji and it's attacking Rachel.
A lot of narration.
Make it, but we could do sounds too. So do like a noise if a lion was hurting you.
Wah!
Yeah. And I'd be like, get off my wife, you prick. Just kidding. It wasn't a lion. It was just us, the two of us, doing a make believe.
You've been pranked.
So that would be the first one. And then we could do one of just like, my butt. And then we'd say something about my butt, something bad that happened to it. You're shaking your head. No, it's like, no, you don't like the pranks.
This is not what I signed up for.
Yeah, no, it's what nobody signed up for. But that's the greatest prank of all, isn't it? Life. This is Wonderful is a podcast where we talk about the things that we are very much in love with. Let's step it up, huh? We always talk about like, yeah, this is okay. This is pretty good. I want to step it up to full-blown in love with one Marriott forever.
Ooh.
Yeah, big love.
It's new terms.
Yeah, so we're going to step it up this week and just really love the ever-loving shit out of all the stuff that we talk about. And do you have any little things? And you don't have to love these as much, but small wonder?
Can I part the curtain a little? Griffin just shook his head yes.
I was doing a burp. I'm sorry. I kept it quiet. You didn't hear it, so you really can't be mad about it.
Part of what is great about doing this show is that every week I do a little investigating.
Okay.
To find new things to talk about.
Rachel McElroy investigates.
Yeah.
What's wrong with this? The way the city's doing the power. We got to the bottom of why your bills are so crazy.
And my small wonder is just that it's really great doing the show because it's gotten me back in touch with like things I kind of fell off of following, like, you know, music websites and news websites. And,
sure.
You know. Stuff like that.
Yeah, you're back on your beat.
Yeah.
On that Murphy Brown shit.
Uh-huh.
Was she in the news? What was Murphy Brown about?
She was a broadcast journalist.
Okay, see, you got it. Yeah. And Designing Women, that was designing.
Yes.
So my small wonder is this hoodie. And I know that's cheap because it's technically our merch, but they sent me a box. And I've never gotten a box of merch from the merch people before, but I got this hoodie. And it's an Adventure Zone hoodie. And regardless of what the brand is on it, it is the most comfortable hoodie I've ever owned.
Yeah,
and I've worn it for
Griffin,
like 8 days straight.
Yes. Every time I see Griffin, he is now wearing this hoodie.
Yeah, I'm on that Zuckerberg shit, just baking my stink right into my hoods. One time I was traveling for work and I was in a hotel elevator. And I may have told this story before, but these two middle-aged couples got in the elevator with me and they were fancy folks and they were joking about some friend of theirs who was wearing a hoodie and said, who does he think he is, Mark Zuckerberg? And then they all had a good laugh about it and then looked behind them where I was standing in the corner of the elevator wearing, you know, an 8-day hoodie. And they waited until I got off the elevator and I heard them laugh as the doors shut.
Oh, Griffin.
Didn't feel good about myself. But then that elevator fell to the ground like a Mission Impossible. And I said, now who's laughing? I put the elevator shears away. I did 4 murders that night. Who goes first?
I think it's me.
There's a way to check this. You go first this week.
Yay. So my first thing this week is an article that came out in the New York Times today called Why You Should Stop Being So Hard on Yourself.
Rachel. Hey, Rachel, you're doing a really good job.
Thank you need for commissioning this article.
Yeah, it was me. I hit up my contacts there. I said, stop writing fucking articles about how well-dressed young Nazis are and instead write an article telling my wife that she's doing a very good job.
So the article is all about something they call self-compassion, which is not like interesting.
Stroking. I'll be stroking. All I want to do is talk about stroking, but we can't because we're doing we're talking about New York Times.
Well, that can be your wonderful thing.
I don't know anything about stroking anyway.
So it talks about how self-criticism can lead to just general, like, not just damaging mental health, but also kind of physical health problems.
Like
things,
what?
Well, things like chronic illness, and they can accelerate aging because it's stimulating this inflammatory mechanism, which is something you hear about, like, children that are raised in really stressful environments. Like, it heightens this, like, inflammatory response, this kind of fear and adrenaline, and it permanently impacts the way that they process things as they get older.
You always bring stuff that makes me think my body is like this sentient organism that I am only vaguely in control of.
So here's some interesting stuff.
Okay.
So our brains equip us with a mechanism to monitor our mind and behavior. And when we make mistakes, we are able to notice the mistakes. And in order to recover from what we identify as a mistake, we must first notice that a mistake has occurred. And so assigning this negative value can kind of catch us up into this cycle of unhelpful rumination, is what they say in the article.
If you start looking for mistakes and become convinced that everything is a mistake, then...
Well, that, and also you start assigning, like they said, assigning value. Like, yeah, this is a good behavior, this is a bad behavior, and then you become critical of your responses to things.
Interesting.
And this kind of self-criticism can lead to things like depression, anxiety, substance abuse, and decreased motivation and productivity. So what they say in the article is that self-compassion is the practice of being kind and understanding to ourselves. And this I thought was interesting. So Dr. Kristen Neff, who is an associate professor of psychology at UT Austin, says that research shows that the number one barrier to self-compassion is fear of being complacent and losing your edge. And the research shows that's not true. Which I just thought, like, that's really profound.
Yeah, sure.
Right? This idea of being kind to yourself is somehow just treading water or just accepting the status quo instead of pushing yourself to go farther. And that if you really embrace who you are in the moment and accept your flaws, you're compromising this, like, potential.
Quality control.
Yeah,
I get in that loop. Real bad. Did you bring this because I get stuck in that loop real, real bad and may in fact be in one right now? Is that why you're doing this? Is because I've been in a funk? No, I get in these creative funks. Well, I really do.
And this is something that I know that you and I experience, and I think a lot of people do, is just this idea that there's some inherent value in being hard on yourself.
Yeah, because if I'm not my critic, then yes, I'm not going to improve.
Exactly.
And the quality of my product is going to start slipping.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a study from Berkeley that came out in 2016 that says that self-compassion led to greater personal improvement in part through heightened acceptance, and that focusing on self-compassion spurs positive adjustment in the face of regrets. So this idea that, like, oh, if I accept my faults, then I am not going to be progressing is actually not true.
The opposite.
Yeah, the people that are more accepting of where they're at are more likely to achieve greater things.
Now, I feel like I do have a second voice inside me that's like, you know, you did an hour work today. It was all right. Do you want to play Destiny 2 all day? And I'm like, fuck yeah, party voice, let's go. And the other voice is like, you have to be critical of everything or else your work's going to slip. And it's like, I know, but... there's new stuff in Destiny. So I need a third voice that's like, no, you should do some work, but don't freak out about it.
Well, yeah. And this is the thing that comes up for me a lot, is this idea of black and white, of like either or.
Yeah.
Like in my intellectual life, I recognize there are shades of gray, but in my emotional life, I'm like, this is either good or bad, and I have to choose. So here are some solutions that the article presents. One thing it says, just straightforward, is make the choice to treat yourself more kindly. And think of it as letting go of self-judgment, going easier on yourself and practicing self-compassion, or whatever resonates most. And so this can happen through things like meditation.
Sure.
Of learning to kind of hear those moments of doubt, but to not assign, you know, a great emphasis to them. And there's also some ideas of in this article about how you could focus your energy on something external that you care about, which can help you establish perspective and a sense of meaning beyond yourself. So if you're volunteering or contributing to something larger that makes you feel good and makes you feel charitable, it will kind of help you break free of that self-criticism.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because you have something that gives you value. And then this is something that I've been trying to do lately, that they said is important, is make a deliberate conscious effort to recognize the difference between how you feel when you're caught up in self-criticism and how you feel when you can let go of it. And so there's a doctor in this article that says, that's where you start to hack the reward-based learning system.
What does that mean, dog?
So a part of our brains called the orbitofrontal cortex compares X versus Y. And if Y is more pleasurable or less painful, our brains will learn to go with Y. So if you start recognizing, I feel better when I don't do this to myself, your brain will start to learn that that is the better behavior.
Again, real uncomfortable with my brain making that decision. You know what I mean? Like, hey, brain, come on. I don't need that. I'll tell you what I need, brain.
I mean, ultimately, and this is something that's really common sense when you think about it, is practice what it feels like to treat yourself as you might treat a friend.
Yeah.
You know, which is something that helps me a lot when I feel like I need to be doing more.
Yeah.
If I were talking to a friend in the same circumstance, I'm
laughing because, like, I am so bad about, like, if my friend makes something and shows it to me, I am never the guy to be like, I don't know, man, it was pretty bad. And let me give you some constructive criticism, because, like, I am 100% like, it was the best thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
Well, don't tell me that, because now I'm going to be doubtful.
You only make good shit. It's true. You're only cranking out bangers.
I think one thing I've noticed about you is that you are very good at giving advice. And I'm not just plugging your podcast. I'm saying that you...
Well, that's not a good example of that at all.
You as a person are a very sensitive, thoughtful listener.
That's fair.
And so I think it's good to think about, you know, if I were to talk to myself in that same voice, what would I say?
Just don't ask me to, like, give you some tips on your mixtape or something, because it'll just be like, it's the greatest thing I've ever heard ever. Do you want to know my first thing?
Yes.
It's a bagel.
We should really talk beforehand how we match up our topics.
It's a bagel. Gonna do bagel. I love this little toad man who's appeared. Blah, 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 bagel.
A particular kind of bagel?
Yeah, bagel. The round kind? Bagel. Do you know him?
No specific flavor?
All of them. Yeah, bagel.
Like a savory or a sweet?
Yeah, bagel. You know it then.
I'm familiar with bagel, yes.
You know its chimeric nature.
I enjoy bagel also.
This is the other round bread that we like to eat for breakfast. And you may know about donut. This is his sort of chewier, firmer, shinier friend. The bagel? Mm-hmm. It sounds like you know about the bagel.
I know the bagel.
The exact history of the bagel, a little bit vague. Ashkenazi Jewish communities were enjoying them in the 1600s. The first mentions of the bagel were in Poland. Thank you, Poland. Thank you, Ashkenazi Jewish communities, for this bagel, because you ate them in 1600s and I eat them today. And I have for a very long time. I'm weird about bread, because I either want that shit light and soft and fluffy and almost intangible cotton candy melt in your mouth, or I want that shit to be a crossword puzzle for my teeth. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I want to be able to work on it.
Yes.
Yes.
Toasted or not toasted?
Almost always a little toasted.
Okay.
Not crispity, crunchity. Yes, peanut buttery sometimes, but not like burnt to a cinder, and not, you know, raw dog. I'm a big fan of how chewy these guys are. They taste good. You have to work hard to eat them, more so than other breads. I think I just enjoy food that you have to work at, like a peanut or a, I downed a whole bag of peanuts at that baseball game I went to last, or I guess a couple weeks ago now. Just destroyed them, and it took me the whole baseball game, and I finished and I was like, oh, game's done.
You like a crab leg too.
I love a crab leg because that makes me feel like Krull the Conqueror. I also like how shiny they are. It activates this caveman part of my brain that's like, ooh, it's shiny like a precious coin. I have to eat that. They're pretty to look at, aren't they? Because the shine, or maybe it's like an baked in egotism, egoism, where you can like, oh, if I get close enough to that bread, I'll see myself. I want to eat that right now.
That's the story of Narcissus, isn't it? That he stared too long into
the bagel and then he ate his own arm off. That effect, if you know about bagels, maybe you don't, that effect, the shininess, the chewiness, the way that it gets that effect, other than it makes it different from other bread, is because of how they're cooked. You make the dough, you make it into a ring shape, you proof it for like 4 days, you proof it for a very long time, and you boil it in water, usually with some sort of additive like lye or baking soda, and you get that shit very soggy, and then you bake it.
It's like a soft pretzel.
It's very much like a soft pretzel, which I've made many times before. Yeah. I've never made a bagel, but I'm thinking.
You could definitely make
a bagel. I think I can make a bagel. I found an article on website. I did not write down what website. It was a good one, though. I
think Bagel.com?
It may have been The Times.
Bagel.bagel?
It was The Times or The Dispatch or The Herald. One of those that explained about the boiling process, about the chemistry of it. Poaching it pre-gelatinizes the starch in the dough, locking the liquid inside of it and expanding the interior. It's like flash frying a steak before grilling it to seal in the juices. The boiling also thickens the crust. Coppedge, which I guess this is a quote from it, who works for the Culinary Institute of America, says that it is essential to produce a more chewy bagel. And I'm sure that person has a first name, but I'll be danged.
You were so excited about bagel.
So there's some interesting chemistry in here. You poach it, and it basically is like, when I made that pot roast, I had to like sear it before I put it in the crock pot for 6 hours, because otherwise it would get all dry. You got to seal that shit in. And that's what that does. It expands the inside while hardening the outside.
God, I love a bagel.
Yeah, I know. They're good, right?
Yeah.
So this whole process of making a bagel is really wild. And I wish I could go back to the first person who looked at their round dough and was like, no, you know what? I know everyone's baking these things. I'm going to put it in this boiling water for a little bit. And then they did that for a few minutes and they took it out and they're like, uh-oh, I fucked up. This is nothing. It got all soggy and weird. I don't want to waste the dough, though, so I am still going to try to bake this bad boy. And then they did, and they're like, oh, dunk, never mind. This is good. It's a bagel. It's just weird to think about, you know?
Well, maybe it was like a sanitation thing of, like, if we boil it, we know that we killed off, you know, the bagel gremlins. And
yeah, Jerry dropped his shoe in the dough. Damn it, Jerry, you dropped your shoe in the dough. You got your foot stink all over it. I better boil this dough before I bake it. Oh, no, I made a bagel. Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be rich.
I wonder. Griffin, you would know. Are there bagels in the Bible?
Are there bagels in the Bible? No, I don't believe so. Okay. There is stuff about...
There's bread.
There's bread and leavened and the unleavened variety and manna from heaven, which that might have been bagels. I don't know. That gives me sort of a cloudy with a chance of meatballs vibe, which I don't think the Bible or that movie were necessarily going for. But that could have been the case. Bagels. You have so many flavor options for the bagel itself. All of them are wonderful. I've never eaten a bagel and been like, this flavor of the bagel bread was no good. Everything, poppy seed, salt, blueberry, cinnamon, raisin, whatever. I'm down with it. And then the toppings, world's your oyster. I do some peanut butter on there. I do some cream cheese, or you could do what I used to do when I lived in Chicago and what I had for breakfast for an entire fucking calendar year was cream cheese with banana slices on it. every day. Oh, that'll put you down for the count. Rachel did not like that.
Banana on top of cream cheese. I feel like we've talked about this before. And
it's perfect.
Feelings.
It is sweet, creamy, delicious treat. Or if you want to go the savory route, lox, capers, egg, anything. You can do an open face. You can do
a
sandwich.
A bagel sandwich.
You can do a sandwich. You can do whatever. It transitions day to night. Tasty, creamy treat to savory snack. It can be what you need when you need it. I could eat a bagel anytime, any day. I'm not going to do the Bagel Bites theme song, but if I dress it up correctly, I can have this bad boy whenever I want it, however I want it, and I have. I did today. I had a little elevated PB&J with bagel bread. Welcome, mm-hmm. welcome. Now I've let you into my house. This is my crib. So this is where the shoes go, and over here, I've just made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for myself out of bagel bread. I'm 31 years old, and I have a child.
Can I tell you, this is a little insight into marriage for those of you that are not married.
Did I leave the peanut butter out? Aw, nuts.
I came home, and there was a knife in the sink with some peanut butter on it.
Okay, so there was something I did bad.
Well, no, it wasn't that you did it bad. It was just I saw that knife with the peanut butter on it, and I knew Griffin had a bagel today.
Mm. Yeah, sorry for all the gulping noises. I'm drinking water. I drink a lot of water for health, but and I eat a lot of bagels for health, too. So I guess you could say I'm a real fitness nut. So can I steal you away, please? I think you did that last week.
No, last week I did like a chicken noise or like a...
Oh, yeah, you're right. Here's an idea.
Okay.
And you let me know if you like it or not. Let's just kiss each other from the mic and we'll make lower, make descending tones.
What if we just like kiss our hands?
I don't, that'd be embarrassing. And also my hand still smells like pizza from the other day. Oh, God. Yeah, I know. Rachel, I swear to God, I've taken like 6 showers since then and I wash my hands, you know, several times a day. Every time I go to the B room or I touch something gross, it's like I got a stink tattoo. I swear to God, it will not come off.
All right, I'm going to kiss my hand then.
Okay.
Okay.
I got jealous. Damn it.
I have a Jumbotron.
Okay, let her rip. Blast off.
This message is for Joe Roland. It is from Kelly Roland.
Hell yeah.
I am so glad that I get to spend the rest of my life goofing and laughing with you. Thank you for taking me from American Idol to Destiny's Child. I love you.
Wait, was her last name Clarkson before? That has to be what it is,
no,
right?
No, Kelly Rowland is a member of Destiny's Child.
Right, but she said, thank you for taking me from American Idol to Destiny's Child. I think that her last name used to be Clarkson, right? Kelly Clark. Oh. Yes, thank you. Yes. Now we're in the same bit together.
Interesting.
Yes. What if his name was Justin Guarini? Then the joke wouldn't make sense, huh? Yeah, yours was better. I tried to punch up your shit, listener, but you did a better job than I did. So there.
This next message is for Jade Charrington. It is from Parker Thompson. Jade, you are the love of my life. You are the most wonderful, kind, beautiful girl I've ever met, and you make me feel like the luckiest guy in the whole world. Thank you so much for all the ways you have changed my life. I'm so glad I met you, thanks to the brothers in Smooch Island, the McElroy dating group. Island magic is real.
Did I know this existed?
I'm guessing it's a Facebook spinoff group.
For dating? I have my own Christian mingle?
Called Smooch Island.
Fuck yes! This changes everything for me.
Well, I don't know that you get a say in who pairs up on Smooch Island, Griffin.
I want to, though. I want to do my own little Tomodachi life sort of situation where I'm like, you know, this week it's just farmers.
That's originally what that was going to be called.
Yeah, this week it's just farmers. This week, just Christians here on Christian Mingle. Hey, quick note about the Jumbotrons. They are about to go on sale again for our podcast, but we're doing them in kind of a new way for a few of our shows. Jumbotrons, if you've ever tried to buy one before, they sell out extremely quickly, which is not us bragging as much as sort of explaining a serious programming issue we've run into in the past. So because of high demand, which actually crashed the MaxFun servers last time, this time we are actually raffling off Jumbotron slots. Starting May 24th, listeners can head to MaximumFun.org/JumbotronRaffle to enter raffles to purchase one of the limited Jumbotron spots on both Wonderful and the Adventure Zone. They are estimated to run in the latter half of the year, and the raffle closes on June 14th. Again, it is MaximumFun.org/JumbotronRaffle. I know that it sounds weird, enter a raffle to buy a Jumbotron, but we have tried a lot of different ways to you know, make sure that people get the Jumbotron spots that they want, but the demand has far outstripped the supply because we only do a couple of these per episode of the show. So we're going to try doing it this way and see if it you know keeps the website from exploding.
Yeah, and it keeps you from having to be at your computer at a specific time competing with a bunch of online traffic, hopefully.
Yes, and losing because, you know, your freaking dad picked up the phone to call his football friends.
Oh my gosh.
Damn it.
Are you too young to remember dial-up?
No.
Okay.
Am I too young to be playing EverQuest, like about to take down the boss of you know, Crushbone and like killing it with all my best friends online? And then my freaking dad picks up the phone to call his football friends and the game is destroyed. No,
oh
Rachel, I'm not too young.
Oh my gosh.
Am I too young to be playing The Sims Online and I'm about to buy a parcel of all of them are sort of MMO based now that I think about it?
The Dead Pilot Society podcast brings you hilarious comedy pilots that were never made, featuring actors like Aubrey Plaza, Andy Richter, Paul F. Tompkins, John Hodgman, Adam Scott, Molly Shannon, Busy Phillips, Tom Lennon, Anna Camp, Laurie Metcalf, Felicia Day, Michael Ian Black, Adam Savage, Paul Scheer, Ben Schwartz, Skylar Astin, Mae Whitman, Josh Molina, Ben Feldman, Nicole Byer, Jason Ritter, Sarah Chalk, Steve Agee, Jane Levy, Allison Tolman, Danielle Nicolette, Casey Wilson, Anna Ortiz, Lorraine Newman, June Diane Raphael, Kiernan Shipka, Ed Week, Zach Knight, Carrie Kenny Silver, John Ross Bowie, Jamie Denbo, Janet Varney, Alexander Forsyth, Summer, Morales, Matt Worley, and many more. Listen at MaximumFun.org, iTunes, or wherever you download podcasts.
Hey, what's your second thing?
My second thing is actually an artist that you mentioned last week.
Okay, so Rachel messaged me and was like, hey, if you want to listen to this artist, I don't know if you know about them or not, but you know, you can educate yourself about their music before I talk about it on this episode. And I was like, oh yeah, thank you. Let me see. Oh. Okay. So go ahead.
Well, you talked about several artists last week.
I did.
And to be fair, I hadn't heard of most of them.
Sure.
But then it burrowed into my brain.
Yes.
And I rediscovered.
Yes.
Snail Mail.
Let me also say I was inches away from bringing the Roaches this week, which I also talked about during that segment. So it would have been fun to do like a little spinoff episode just about that one segment that I did on the show. The Roaches are fucking fantastic, by the way. I'm obsessed with them now. Anyway, Snail Mail, though, is also extremely good.
So Snail Mail's first full-length album is coming out June 8th on Matador Records. It's going to be called Lush.
What did they have before? Just a little EP? Interesting.
Yeah. The lead singer, Lindsay Jordan, is only 18 years old.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Did you know that we have a listener who played bass on that EP?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah.
Cool.
They tweeted at us the week that we talked about it, and I don't think they're no longer with the band, I believe, but they played bass on that album, and they're like, yeah, a band fucking shreds. So I'm sorry that I didn't get your name, but that's very cool that you listen. And great fucking slapping, bro. Great slaps, bro. You don't shred a bass, right?
No.
You fucking pound it. Playing bass has got to be violent, you know? I brutalized that four string.
I don't like that.
Snail Mail, though, is a great band.
Yes. So the lead singer has been playing guitar since she was 5 years old.
Jesus.
Her EP came out when she was like a sophomore, junior in high school.
The one that I talked about a song from last?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah, she used to have to get like notes from her principal to perform at things like South by Southwest.
And like bars are like out of the question.
Yeah. And so the songs off of the new album that have already been released are Heatwave, Pristine, and Let's Find Out. And I wanted to play a little bit from Pristine.
Yeah, let's play a little bit right now.
Thank you.
So she did an interview in Fader recently about the song Pristine, and she said, "Pristine is really pathetic. I was kind of making fun of myself in a way because I was getting so enveloped in this one love interest, and it was almost ridiculous. The chorus is obnoxiously melodramatic. I tried to put that extreme, oh my God, if you don't love me back, I'm going to die feeling that you have, but you don't want to outwardly express because it's embarrassing." So some of the lyrics from this song are, "Don't you like me for me? Is there any better feeling than coming clean? And I know myself, and I'll never love anyone else."
That is very, yeah.
I love it. Like, this may surprise you to know that I was kind of a moody teen.
No.
And then I continued to be kind of a moody 20-something.
Yeah.
And I would say I'm a less moody 30-something.
Yeah,
but I
no.
still have moody inclinations.
Oh, for sure. But I mean, that's like, that's why we work.
But her songs kind of remind me a little bit of like Rilo Kiley and Best Coast.
Best Coast is what? That, yes. I think I like it even better than, I discovered this band because that Spotify, and you can like chart it. And then you sent this to me like, hey, I'm going to talk about this. And I listened to more of their music today. And I was like, fuck me, this is so good. This is very good. And it's not like anything else I listen to, but like, I just think it's so very, very like well made and very good music.
Mm-hmm. She said in a New York Times interview recently, she was talking about how, you know, that she's still kind of a dramatic teen. And she says, "I have a lot of self-awareness and not a lot of shame," which I think is kind of the best combination for an artist.
Yeah, for sure.
So I was just really excited to kind of discover this band. Obviously, Griffin discovered them first.
It's fine. It doesn't matter who discovered them.
But I'm excited about the new full-length album, too.
Yeah, for sure.
That is coming out very soon. And she's doing, with her band, she's doing a big old tour over the next few months.
I can't believe she was a, like, middle high schooler. Like, a not even like a senior high schooler, but like a, you know, a junior varsity high schooler when she put that, when they put that EP out. That's wild to me.
Yeah, she started playing in bands, I think, right when she was like 15 years old.
Playing guitar at 5 is like some America's Got Talent shit. Yeah. That's like, to me, that's the pinnacle, I guess, of prodigy is if you get on the
America's Got Talent.
Yeah. Do you want to know my second thing?
Yes.
It's also a music thing. This one is for an artist who you might know of, listener and Rachel, named Louis Zong.
Yeah, that's our cover art.
Louis Zong made the cover art for our show, and he did not say you can use the art if you talk about my music on the show. In fact, I DM'd him and I was like, are you cool? Is it going to be weird if I talk about your music? Because I genuinely do listen to it a whole lot because it gives me vibes that I now actively seek out. I listen to other music and I'm like, I need some good vibes. And I go look at Louis Zong's music. If you're not familiar with Louis, he is an illustrator, an animator. He made our cover art. He has made so many beautiful, beautiful pieces of art that you can find online across his various social media presences. He has this very unique kind of like dreamy style. He's done art for posters for us before. He has made a bunch of Mabim Bam animations, which like never fail to
crack me up. Oh my God, those are so good.
He also works on We Bare Bears as like a storyboard writer.
I love that show so much.
It is a fucking phenomenal show that I adore. And he's sort of a renaissance man because he does all of this, you know, visual art that is all very, very just like incredible. But what I've really been listening to a lot lately is his music because I don't really know how to like describe my aesthetic, but Louis' music kind of fits into it exactly. A lot of it is, a lot of his like albums, which you can all find on his Bandcamp, are themed around like various ideas. There's one called Levels, which is a soundtrack to an imaginary video game that doesn't exist. There's one called, The Atom, which is the soundtrack to an imaginary physics education film. There's one called Dawgs, D-A-W-G-Z, which is all about dogs. There's albums like dedicated to different like environments and moods like road, meadow, land, and space.
I listened to some of Levels and Dogs today, and it's just like these little short upbeat songs that are just like delightful to listen to.
I think I like how like soundtracky they are. Like that, yeah. I enjoy sound music that sounds like soundtracks to things that aren't actually extant, which I know, like, I'm saying specifically the thing that Louis has done here, but like when I listen to like the Jurassic Park soundtrack, I listen to it and I'm like, oh, this is Jurassic Park. If I hear music that sounds like it could be the soundtrack to something but isn't already, then my mind starts trying to develop what that thing is and like what the scenes would look like that music underscores.
Be really good for you creatively.
Yeah, I mean, it's how I write my own music for like Adventure Zone is I think of the scene that I want and then I like try to create a soundtrack for it, which I Jesus Christ, that was the most like obvious thing ever. But that's the kind of music that I also really like enjoying listening to, and that describes a lot of Louis' body of work. He's just so fucking talented that it's wild the number of instruments that he plays and the variety of genres that he dabbles in. The stuff that I really love are his songs that are just chill as fuck. And these are the vibes that I was talking about earlier. And I want to play a few clips. He has an album called Water that is just, in his words, a concept album about H2O atmospheres. And the whole album's just so pretty. It sounds like background music of like a water level in a very good like modern video game with these just like really, really pretty piano runs. This is a song called Waterfall Music. It's got these like blissful, transportive arpeggios and this dainty little slide guitar in the background. This is Waterfall Music. Just start thinking like what that waterfall looks like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that is very chill and very atmospheric.
Atmospheric was the word I was trying to think of when I said soundtracky. That's a shame. There's an album called Acoustic, and I want to play a song off that called Hey There. And a lot of his music is electronic, but this album is obviously all acoustic instruments, and it really showcases his talents. Not just that he can play all of these different instruments. This one has like, it's got like guitars in it, obviously. It's got like pretty accordion or some sort of accordion like reed instrument in there. There's a kalimba like thumb piano situation happening in there. This is a little bit of Hey There. A song called Voice that is just this nice electric piano and drum loop under these really, really gentle audio samples. It's so peaceful and cool, and it just like it chills me right out. What I really like about that last song is I found it because he just tweeted out like a video of the project as he was working on it in his like music software he was working on, which is something he does a lot, just tweets out videos of him noodling around with music. And it's very impressive like how much stuff like this he puts out. But what's great is like it pops up in my timeline, and I never use Twitter hardly at all anymore. But when I do, and I see something pop up from Louis that's like, here's a nice little chill little tune. It just feels like, you know, I found a little flower in a parking lot or something. You know what I mean?
Nice.
It's because it's the parking lot is a bunch of bad, shitty tweets. Do you know what I mean? The parking lot is hot because the sun's been shining down on it.
I do.
And there's glass all over and bad things everywhere. But then there's like a little chill little flower like, hey, bud, Here's some strumming. Doom-dee-goo-doo-doom-doom. It sounds better than that, though. Do you want to hear some submissions?
Yes.
Here's one from Allison who says, one thing that I find wonderful is cottonwood season, where the air is constantly filled with fluffy white seed pods. It looks like snow and makes everything feel like a fairy tale.
Is this what
we've seen?
That's
what that shit is.
Yes. We have an area, like an intersection near our house that is always full of these.
I thought it was bad pollen, but yeah. I guess it's friendly cottonwood.
I thought it was like dandelion, like whatever those things are called.
I thought it was just snow, but hot snow that happens when it's 100 degrees outside. So I called the like science people and I was like, hey, you got to get down here. It's the wildest thing. It's the hot snow. And they did. And
explains all the ice you put in our microwave trying to make hot snow.
Yeah, I thought I could recreate it, but I couldn't. And I wasted all the science people's time and government money. Allie says, my wonderful thing recently is the peacocks that live on a farm across from where I work. Sometimes I get to see them in their yard singing the song of their people, which makes it hard for me to be mad at them when they're walking across the road and making me late for work. I've seen the friendly peacock at a few farms before, back when I lived in a place that was pretty close to farms. I hate to bang this drum week after week, but what service are they providing to the farm? Is the peacock doing something there that I don't? And I hate to bang this drum, but it's like, what's the function here?
There's so much about farms we don't know, Griffin.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But are we eating these things eggs or meat, or do their feathers produce some sort of healing property if mixed with a particular herb?
Maybe they eat small pests.
Yes. Now that I believe. I'm not saying they have to have a function. They can just be a little farm eye candy, a little treat. For the taste, for the visual taste buds, you know, you're looking around a farm, you're like, poop, mud, corn. Hello, big, beautiful bird.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. Just doesn't seem very practical.
Do you want to do that again so people can use it as their ringtone?
Yeah, sure. Well, hello, you big, beautiful bird.
Here we go.
David, you have a text message. I can just do one of those for everybody real quick if you want.
No, let's move on.
Paula, dad's calling.
Let's move on.
Here's one from Emily who says, something I've found wonderful today is riding the plane train between concourses at the airport. Due to various shenanigans, I've been stuck in the Atlanta, Georgia airport for the last 8 or so hours. This cute rhyme and listening to Wonderful, thank you, are the only things keeping me sane right now. The plane train, I enjoy. I've been stuck in many an airports and felt that urge to get on the plane train and, you know, see what the airport has to offer. Hey, let me hit you with this, though. Train plane. So if you're taking trains across the country.
Oh, man.
You could get on a small plane.
And what's the deal with those little bags of peanuts? They would be hard to open.
So small on the train plane, though. Like, you don't understand how small these peanut bags would be. You're so disappointed in me. Anyway, that's a good joke about the train plane. And this is the last bit of the episode. So thanks for listening. Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. Thank you to Max Fun. Hey, yeah. Max Fun.
Max Fun. Thank you, MaximumFun.org, for hosting our show.
MaximumFun.org. They've got all my favorite podcasts.
And many other podcasts.
Davy Jones's Squawker.
Like, Can I Pet Your Dog?
Can I Pet Your Parrot?
And Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
Ross and Carrie.
It's nice.
Yeah, this is all on MaximumFun.org is the joke. I could do one for pretty much all the shows on the network. Bullseye, I hit you with my cannon. You know? Bullseye, I hit him a direct cannon blast. It would be that one.
If you want to listen to other McElroy podcasts, you can find them at McElroyShows.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Not ARG.
No, we're not an organization. We're a commercial business for money. And I think that's it. So do you want me to keep doing my really good pirate podcast joke, or do you want to do something else for outro?
Why don't you give me what you would call Jordan Jesse Go?
Captain Jesse's gold. I think Jordan gets the short end of the stick in that arrangement, but he'd get a share of the booty, if you know what I'm saying. No, I'm talking about actual pirate gold. Anyway, bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Podcasts.
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 They're audio programs
that tell smart stories
in innovative ways
using editing techniques like this.
But let's face it, all that smart stuff can be exhausting.
That's where Stop Podcasting Yourself comes in.
It's so stupid.
It's just two stupid dinguses
being dumb idiot jerks for 90 minutes.
Stop podcasting yourself.
The stupid show that smart people love.
Find it on iTunes
or MaximumFun.org.